in Revelation chapter 9. Revelation chapter 9. This morning, should be able to. We are in the fifth and sixth trumpet judgment, which are the first and second woes that are to come, because at the end of chapter 8, John had written, "I beheld and heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth by reason of the other voices of the trumpet of the three angels which are yet to sound." So again, this morning, looking at, I'm going to read chapter 9, which are the fifth and sixth trumpet, also considered the first and second woe. And kind of as we talked about last week, with these next three trumpets, it just gets more heinous, it gets more dark, it gets more demonic, it just gets worse on this planet for the inhabitants, for the people that are going through that seven-year great tribulation, where God pours out his wrath and his judgment upon this earth and upon all those that rejected Christ, all those that received the mark of the Antichrist, who make an allegiance with the little g God of this world instead of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ. So looking at chapter 9 of Revelation, and let's read, "And the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit, as the smoke of a great furnace. And the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth. And unto them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power. And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. And to them it was given that they should not kill them, but that they should be tormented 5 months. And their torment was as the torment of a scorpion when he striketh a man. And in those days shall man seek death and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. And the shapes of the locusts were like unto horses prepared unto battle, and on their heads were as it were crowns like gold, and their faces were as the faces of men. And they had hair as the hair of women, and their teeth were as the teeth of lions. And they had breastplates as it were breastplates of iron, and the sound of their wings was as the sound of chariots of many horses running to battle. And they had tails like unto scorpions, and there were stings in their tails, and their power was to hurt men 5 months. And they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, but in the Greek tongue hath his name Apollyon. One woe is past, and behold, there come two woes more hereafter." Stopping there, because that's the fifth trumpet judgment. We just see that with this next trumpet, some very weird, demonic-looking creatures are released from what the Bible calls the bottomless pit. Again, things are just going to get worse. I mean, just in the reading, we just notice that that with this plague or this judgment, only those that do not have the seal of God in their foreheads are tormented by these creatures. And I mean, just how it describes it, the face of men, long hair like women. They have a tail that stings like a scorpion, and they're like locusts. They just fly. I mean, just massive amounts of them. They have this angel, which is a fallen angel, a demonic angel that rebelled against God, and his creator is the king over these demonic creatures. And he's the one that will lead them into their heinous acts against mankind. When you think about looking at our notes, though, again, we've seen a lot of things just happening up until now. And again, as God pours out his judgment, just continue to remind us we're not here for this. That's why a lot of this it cannot be explained. There are some things that, you know, people try to look at and say, well, it could be this, it could be that, but we're quite unsure what it could be. God doesn't really tell us what it is. John, with his vocabulary of the day, tries to describe what he's seeing for the readers. And in our day and age, you know, we just, you think about just even back then, they would know what locusts are, just swarms of locusts. I mean, God did it in the Old Testament against Egypt. He's going to do it again, but this will be a worldwide plague that comes upon mankind, all because of their rebellion. But again, when we read the Bible, we as the church, the bride of Christ, the born-again believers saved during the age of grace, are raptured out before the Antichrist is revealed, before God pours out his wrath upon this earth. John is in heaven looking down, seeing all of this and recording everything that is going on. Now, with this fifth trumpet judgment, we just see the hellish invasion of scorpion-like demons. And they are coming out from the bottomless pit. This is what J. Vernon McGee said about these demonic creatures. He said, the last three trumpets, or with these trumpets, the last three trumpets are marked off from the other four by identification with the three woes that were mentioned in the previous chapter. These woes mark the deepest, darkest, and most painful intensity of the Great Tribulation. This is generally associated with the last part, 3.5 years, the blackest days in human history. Now, when you study human history from the beginning all the way until our time now, a lot of heinous things have happened, you know, against mankind. You think about the Holocaust against the Jews. You think about just all kinds of things, even with America, with Pearl Harbor, and you had the suicide Japanese pilots that would just, the kamikazes that would just fly their planes into our warships and everything, and just all the things that this world has suffered under the hands of humanity, under evil men. Think about even the days of the Roman Empire, just how they, you know, tortured Christians and tortured people. And even when you read in the Old Testament about the Ninevites up in Nineveh, and just how Jonah did not want to go there. He did not want to preach, even though the message was God's wrath was coming. He even tells God later, I knew that you would show them grace because that's who you are. If someone repents of their heinous acts and their demonic ways, God, you know, forgives and God gives grace. And yet the Ninevites were a very wicked people of their time, did heinous things against people, against those that they would capture and just torture them. But yet, all the things you read about the history of humanity up until now, it does not compare to what is coming. And God even tells us that it's going to get worse because of the rebellion of man, because of the rejection of Christ, because of their allegiance to the Antichrist. But God is a faithful God, that those that will be saved during the 7 year of the Great Tribulation, God will seal them in their forehead like he does the 144,000 Jewish evangelists that are sealed in their forehead. Antichrist can't do anything to them while they're preaching their message of the kingdom of God during that time. And those that get saved during that time, believing on the coming Messiah, believing on the kingdom of God, and seeing that the Antichrist really isn't about peace, but the Prince of Peace is coming, they will be sealed in their forehead so that this torment and the next one under the sixth trumpet judgment does not harm God's people. And some might think, well, how can God do that? How can God cause the wicked to be tormented but the righteous not? You go back to the Old Testament and Exodus. And God, the plagues that God poured out upon the Egyptians did not affect his people that were living apart from the Egyptians. They had their own town, their own dwelling place, and God put a division between, again, the wicked Egyptians and God's people. Again, we just see things that are going to come and things that truly we can't quite understand, but there are some things that God has revealed. When you look at verse number one, okay, the fifth angel sounds the trumpet. Verse one, it says, the fifth angel sounded, and I, John, saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. Now, there's a lot of theory on who this angel is, whether it is Satan himself, because it says an angel that fell from heaven. When you read the other accounts that we see angels coming down from heaven, even just in a couple previous chapters where an angel would come down, and chapters going forward when the angel comes down and sets his feet in the waters and upon the land and declares that there is time no more. So not quite sure, I mean, but you have different theories on, is this Satan himself releasing these demonic creatures from the bottomless pit? But notice that it says the key was given, all right? Again, what is the bottomless pit? Some believe that it's hell itself, all right? And that's very highly probable that it is. The bottomless pit is hell, because when you look at some verses throughout Scripture, which I think we'll get into in a few minutes, there are demons that will come to Jesus and say, have you come to torment us before the time? And they'll even beg, don't send us to the pit. Send us into the herd of swine. All right? So I personally believe that this is a demonic angel that comes down. All right? Because the key is given to them. Because who has the keys of hell and death? Jesus does. When he ascended with the keys of hell and death. So this angel that comes down and opens this bottomless pit. Now, I don't know my kids haven't, but has any adults in here ever seen a bottomless pit? I use quotation marks because when I was a kid, my parents went to New Mexico, and we went down into what was called Carlsbad Cavern, and in there they had a bottomless pit. I mean, they had signs, hold on to your kids while you walk past it. I mean, they had this bridge that you walked over it. And, it's pitch black. You try to shine a flashlight. You can't see anything. All right. But when you think about the bottomless pit, those that believe that if I had a dry erase board and drew just a circle to show just the circumference of the earth, and inside the earth draw a tunnel that never ends, it just goes in a circle. It'd be kind of like a bottomless pit that just goes on and on and on. When you think about reserved in this bottomless pit are these demonic creatures who have a demonic king over them. When you look at, in fact, let's look at some of these. In eight times in Scripture, and it's all in the book of Revelation, the bottomless pit is mentioned. All right? Let's see here. Look at verse 11, chapter 9, verse 11. It says, they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, all right? And his name is Abaddon. In Hebrew and Greek, it's Apollyon. Go to chapter 11, verse 7, tells us, and when they shall have finished their testimony, speaking of the two witnesses, the beast that ascended out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them and shall overcome them and kill them. You look at chapter 17, verse 8. The beast that thou sawest was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition. And they that dwell on the earth shall wonder, whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they behold the beast that was and is not and yet is. Go on to chapter 20, verses 1 through 3. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. Now see, this is, again, comparing chapter 9, where it says he saw an angel fall from heaven. And then chapter 20, here's an angel that comes down from heaven with the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand, and he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more, till 1,000 years should be fulfilled, and after that he must be loosed a little season. Again, when you think about the bottomless pit, and it again being, if it is truly the place of hell, and the Revelation is just called the bottomless pit, there is no end to it. Think about hell. There is no end to hell. There's no end to the torment that non-believers and rejectors go to when they die. Remember Jesus gave the account of the rich man that lifted his eyes up in hell and was in torment. He in flames. And he saw Lazarus in the bosom of Abraham, the poor man that was laid daily at his gate, and he refused to show him any mercy, any grace, refused to give him even crumbs off his table. And now he sees Lazarus comforted, and yet now the rich man is in torment. We don't even know his name because nobody's name matters in hell, because nobody cares about anybody else other than himself because they are in torment. So if these creatures truly are in what the Bible calls hell or Shiloh, or not Shiloh, if they are there in that place tormenting people that are lost, people that rejected Christ, people that refused in the Old Testament to worship God himself and reject all other gods, these creatures are released upon this earth for a time. Look at verse number 2. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit as the smoke of a great furnace, and the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. So again, verse 2, I mean, just is telling us that the pit is opened, and with the key, again, God has the key. Again, the devil can't do anything. He can't release these demonic creatures without God giving the key to do so. But here comes this moment, and this angel is allowed that falls from heaven, whether it's the devil, whether it's another fallen angel from the beginning in Genesis that we see the angels rebel against God. Here, the door is opened to this pit that has been shut for thousands of years, has been shut since God judged those fallen angels. In Jude chapter 1, in your notes, all right, these demons have been reserved there in the bottomless pit for this very hour of judgment. In Jude chapter 1, verse 6 and 7, and the angel which kept not their first, or the angels which kept not their first estate, speaking of the fallen angels that rebelled against God and followed Lucifer in his rebellion, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication, going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. So even in Jude speaks about these angels that have been reserved under darkness. They've been kept in chains, meaning they could not get out. They could not do whatever they wanted to. They're in God's prison until they're released for this time. 2 Peter chapter 2, for if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell. So here it speaks about the angels that rebelled against God being cast into hell. So I would say the bottomless pit and hell are the same. All right, that's where these creatures are at. They're kept in chains. They're not able to get out and do whatever they want until they are released. And God gives the power to that one angel, gives the key to the bottomless pit to open it, and deliver them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment. 1 Peter chapter 3, for Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit, by which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison, which sometimes were disobedient when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was a-preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls, were saved by water. Just speaking of Christ descending after his death to preach to the spirits, not to the demons. All right, the demons can't be saved, but it's the fact that Jesus descended down into hell and he preached the gospel. He preached himself to those that had rejected the Father, had rejected God in the Old Testament, rejected the coming Messiah as well. And they are condemned, and he took captivity captive, those that were on the other side, on Abraham's bosom. He takes all them to heaven. But Scripture indicates that some demons, though, are free in this age to oppress men. People still get demonically... Oh, I'm losing my thought. People still are, in our day and age, demonically oppressed. They have demons in them, controlling them, because they've opened themselves up. One of the quickest ways that someone can be possessed by a demon who is not a child of God who is sealed by the Holy Spirit of God, can't be possessed by a demon. A demon can't come into them, but they can be oppressed, where the demon fights against them and plagues their minds with suicidal thoughts and stuff, but can't indwell them because they have the Spirit of God in them. Yet those who don't have the Spirit of God, one of the quickest ways to become possessed by a demon is through drugs and alcohol. Opening yourself up to demonic oppression, demonic... Why I keep skipping out on that word. That word just keeps fleeing my mind, but demonic... Help me out, guys. Why I said it, now in my mind just... The devil doesn't want people to know the truth. And that's the message of, the 11 o'clock hour is what is truth. You realize the devil doesn't want people to know the truth? You realize some of these pictures I'm going to show you in a minute, the devil wants people, those are fake pictures, they're made up. I mean, think about all the horror movies that come out of Hollywood. It's all made up. They make up those movies, but it depicts what reality is. Because you realize, not going to put thoughts in anybody's minds, but if you ever watched any horror movies growing up, and just some of the heinous horror movies they put out there, how in the world could a sane person come up with so grotesque imagery, things to, cause other people to look at? It's because it's all demonic. It's all demonic. So some of the stuff that they do put out, Hollywood, that's on TV and stuff, it is, again, to program people to not believe what the Bible says. Because when you read chapter 9, how many of us can rightly imagine what the Bible is describing? These locusts that have a face of a man, long hair like a woman, they have on crowns, they have wings, they fly, they have a tail like a scorpion that stings. It's like, you can't even imagine it. And there's plenty of pictures on the internet of people trying to draw, what they think it looks like based on the description. And some of them look funny, some of them look very scary, demonic, and you can't even fathom what these creatures look like, unless God has revealed it and has allowed people to come across a creature that very well could be one of these creatures, or it is one of these creatures that is reserved in the bottomless pit. I don't know. But when you think about just what is coming, you think about God, is there anything God cannot do? No, other than sin. And he has reserved these creatures in the bottomless pit for that time. For that time when they will be released by an angel that falls from heaven, who's given the key. He doesn't have the key. The key is given to him to release these creatures. And these creatures have this king over them. All right, so again, Scripture indicates that demons can oppress men now, but others are chained like these until a time of purpose and judgment. In your notes, Luke chapter 4, verse 34, saying, demon-possessed man, saying to Jesus, saying, "Let us alone, what have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee, who thou art, the Holy One of God." So the demons know who Christ is, and they know that they're going to be judged. There are some, again, already in bondage, already chained up in darkness, but there are those that, for whatever reason, they have been allowed to be roaming this earth, oppressing people, possessing people, and they see Christ, and they say, "Have you come to destroy us?" In Matthew 8, verse 29, "And behold, they cried out, saying, What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus, thou Son of God? Art thou come hither to torment us before the time?" That is the case of the demoniac of Gadara, who, according to Scripture, because 2,000 swine were possessed with these demons when Jesus allowed them to go into them. So this man has apparently 2,000 demons in his life. He opened up himself to demonic oppression, demonic warfare. I mean, his life was completely consumed by demons. And yet when you read that and Jesus gives them leave, and I'll say shows them a little grace instead of sending them to the bottomless pit, sending them straight to hell, he allows them to go into the swine, into the pigs that run off of a cliff, and it says 2,000 of them. And that man's life was changed because Christ came into his life and all demons had to leave that man. Look at Luke chapter 8. Because I didn't type that one out. Luke chapter 8, verse 27 through 31. Now, aren't you glad that when Jesus comes into a life, that life is changed by the power of God? Because you go back to Matthew and look at that. When the townspeople came out to see what was done, they saw the man who had been possessed sitting. Remember, they tried to chain him. They tried to imprison him. He'd break the chains. He'd break the fetters. I mean, they couldn't control him. He was out of his mind, running naked, cutting himself, living among the graves. Yet when they came out on that day, they see him sitting calm in his right mind, fully clothed, just having a conversation with Christ. I mean, his life was completely changed. In Luke chapter 8, verse 27 through 31, it says, "And they arrived," or this is the one, "And they arrived at the country of the Gadarenes, which is over against Galilee. And when he went forth to land, there met him out of the city a certain man which had devils long time and wear no clothes, neither abode in any house, but in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him, and with a loud voice said, What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God, Most High? I beseech thee, torment me not. For he had come..." Isn't that amazing, though? This isn't the first time. I read some other ones. But the fact that demons would ask Jesus not to torment them, yet they're the ones tormenting people. And when they come into the presence of Christ, they ask Jesus, "Have you come to torment us before the time?" They know what lies ahead for them. Even though in Revelation 9, these demonic creatures are released to torment men, men who do not have the seal of God upon them, yet God is a righteous judge, and the demons are going to be judged by Christ, and they will be cast into the lake of fire to be tormented for eternity. Obviously, along with everyone else who took the mark of the beast, and those who have, from the beginning of time until time ends, have rejected Christ, have rejected God. But they know that there's a torment that waits for them that is worse than what they do to mankind. Again, he goes on and he says, verse 29, "For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man, for oftentimes it had caught him, and he was kept bound with chains and in fetters, and he brake the bands and was driven of the devil into the wilderness. And Jesus asked him, saying, What is thy name? And he said, Legion, because many devils were entered into him." The Bible is very clear, this man was possessed not by one, but by many. And you go on, and it seems like 2,000. Now listen, people that are hooked on TV and hooked on movies and stuff, they read the Bible and they just think, oh, you know, that's just fairy tale. It's all made up. Because the devil, again, wants to program people to believe that the things they see on TV can't be real. The creatures that Hollywood produces for their movies, well, that's just Hollywood. There's no creatures like that. Because, again, when you read the description in Revelation chapter 9, the human mind can't comprehend. It's like, well, that sounds like, you know, a mad scientist, you know, a mad scientist, you know, in the lab trying to, you know, cross a human with a locust, you know, in a scorpion, trying to put all these DNAs together, and this is what came out. You realize we have no idea what they do around this world. We have no idea what China actually does. I mean, we know they are the leading producers of AI. We have no idea what they're trying to produce. Because the imagination of the heart of man is wicked and evil continually. Do you realize that there probably are, and I have no proof for this, but I believe it just based on scripture and based on the wickedness of man's heart and based on who the devil is. God created humans. He created female and male. And God breathed life into man, and man became a living soul. What does the devil always want to do? He wants to do the opposite of God. Okay, God, he created order. There's an animal kingdom, and there's mankind. Mankind did not come from the animal kingdom, as the world teaches. So it would not be really be wrong to say, you know what? The devil probably wants to mix animals and humans. Again, when you read Greek mythology, they have gods that are half horse and half human. But, you know, we think, oh, you know, that's just made up. But is it? Now, thus, because we don't understand how that's possible, we automatically reject anything like that. But, again, just because we can't explain it doesn't mean that it's possible and it has happened. Again, these creatures that are part man, part locust, part lion, part scorpion. Again, it kind of sounds like maybe mankind was trying to mix some things and out came this creature. But again, the Bible does say these come from the bottomless pit. They are let out by God. All right. So when you look back at verse number three, and there came out of Revelation 9, and there came out of the smoke, and he says locusts upon the earth. I mean, so when John first sees the bottomless pit opened and sees this smoke arise, and he says, man, these locusts came out of the smoke, they look like locusts to him, until he gets a closer look, and in the same chapter, he starts describing what they look like. So when you think about locusts, you know, here in West Africa, you have a swarm of locusts. Now, you can't really, you know, have pitch or tell, but you zoom in, I mean, this is just amazing, all right? It's just amazing how this swarm is just there. I mean, you can see the man there, all right? Okay, so, I mean, it's, again, Egypt experienced it in the days when God was going to take his people out with his mighty stretched out arm. You think about this picture, I forget, this one is it's in Africa as well. But in the distance there, it just looks like black clouds, but that's actually locusts. That's actually locusts going across the land. And you read in the Old Testament too, where God would also send locusts to destroy the enemies of God's land, because they would come and they would destroy and just eat all vegetation. And that's why in Revelation chapter 9, it says that they were given power to torment man, but they could not eat vegetation. They could not eat the grass. They could not eat bushes or trees. They're only sent to torment people. Now, the next two pictures I show you are pictures from 2016. Before I show you, it's a picture from 2016 where in Mexico they had discovered this creature. And again, first off, when they first were showing the picture, oh, that's fake, you know, it's a hoax. But actually, there were some Christian scientists that went down there and said, no, it's not a hoax. Wow, this whatever this creature is, it sure does resemble what's mentioned in Revelation 9. So you have this creature, and this is a real picture of a creature that I believe, if I remember right, it was about 6 inches long. And I mean, just looking at it, I mean, the face kind of resembles a human. There's the wings. And then the part that's circled actually has a tail coming off and has a stinger on it. Call it a stinger, but you know, like a scorpion, all right? More up close picture of the same creature. I mean, looking at it, it's kind of like, well, you know, that kind of looks fake. It looks kind of like a toy. But many have gone and many have said, no, it's real. It's there. Again, you know, what is it? It kind of resembles, the head kind of resembles the head of a man, as the Bible describes in Revelation 9. It has wings, so it can fly like a locust. I mean, it's a weird looking creature. Again, that's why I said that maybe it's just some laboratory that's trying to, you know, what do you call it, just breed or intermix the DNAs from some, you know, a scorpion and a human and all of this. I mean, they're doing that stuff. I mean, we just don't know all that they're doing, all right? But again, even if that is what is in the bottomless pit, it just puts things into perspective. You realize that sometimes God allows people to find stuff to solidify that the Bible's true. Because when they found the Dead Sea Scrolls, it proved the Bible was true. I mean, things that archaeologists find over in the Middle East just prove the Bible to be true. I loved it when they found Jericho. Because Jericho is where God told his people just walk around the walls for 7 days, and on the seventh day, the walls are going to fall down. Well, I've walked around this church multiple times, and the walls haven't fallen down yet. Of course, I wasn't, you know, wanting the walls to fall down. But think about when you read that account back in Exodus, back in Old Testament, Joshua, God tells them, you know, you can't speak, you can't talk for those 7 days. For 6 days, you just walk around once, but on the seventh day, you're going to encircle that city, Jericho, 7 times, and on the seventh time, the priests are going to blow the trumpets, then all the people can shout, and the walls came down. Well, they excavated the city of Jericho, and after excavating it, they found that there was one wall still standing. All the other walls seem as though they just fell down flat, like fell over. But one part of the wall was still standing. Well, in the Old Testament, whose wall is still standing? Rahab, because Rahab had her house on the wall. And it says, I mean, God doesn't have to prove to humans what is true, but it's amazing when he allows things to be discovered that prove his word. So again, whatever these creatures are, they are demonic. They are demonic because notice verse 3 again, and there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth, and unto them was given power as the scorpions of the earth have, power. I don't know if anyone's ever been stung by a scorpion. I know my parents used to live in Arizona, and my mom tells a story of one day, my sister, who's 3 years older than me, came in the house holding a scorpion by the tail and wanted to give it to my mom. And my mom was like, throw that outside. Now, there are some scorpions that are more deadly than others. But again, when it talks about the scorpion having the power as a scorpion, all right? Some of the, I saw one pastor give a testimony that he was in, I think he was in Mexico, he said. And he was in somebody's home and had his head leaned up against the wall and a scorpion had come up and pegged him in his neck. And he felt his tongue go numb, you know, and just the pain that came from the venom. You know, it's about all it did to him. All right, but again, there are other scorpions that are more deadly, but these have the power of a scorpion, so to sting, to inflict pain upon humans. All right, again, their release is pictured with a massive cloud of smoke, and it kind of shows you how a massive swarm of locusts can look like just a cloud of smoke. But again, when the Bible says that smoke ascended from the bottomless pit, it's, again, it's very probable that literal smoke, because you think about hell, you think about fire, the brimstone, things burning, and then the locusts come out, all right? Or it could be just a cloud of locusts coming out because there's so many of them. Somewhere, we'll probably come to it, but it's estimated about 200 million locusts coming out of the bottomless pit. 200 million, all right? But again, reading on, look at verses 3 through 6. It says, "And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth, and unto them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power. And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth," because that's what locusts do. They eat up the vegetation. "Neither any green thing, neither any tree." Remember, by this point, one-third of trees have been burnt up, and one-third of the grass has been burnt up as well. But during this judgment, these demonic locusts cannot eat the green grass or anything green, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. And to them it was given that they should not kill them, but that they should be tormented 5 months. And their torment was as the torment of a scorpion when he striketh a man. And in those days shall men seek death and shall not find it, and desire to die, and death shall flee from them. So you think about this. These demons have the power of scorpions to cause unimaginable pain. Their intensely painful stings will afflict mankind. Again, this is globally. It's not locally. It's not just in one region of the world. It's globally that this is happening. Their intensely painful stings will afflict mankind, not vegetation, and they may not afflict those with the seal of God. So you just think, I mean, if you know, there's a child of God in a room full of people who have the mark of the beast in their forehead or the right arm, and they're being tormented by these locusts, the child of God is safe. The person who got saved during this time will not be afflicted. The locusts will not land upon them, will not torment them. These demons will afflict mankind for 5 months, and death will not be possible. Again, I didn't have time to look it up, but there are scorpions who are very deadly. That can kill a man. Their sting can kill a man. Charles Ryrie, in his book on Revelation, said, quote, "The effect of this torment is to drive men to suicide, but they will not be able to die. Bodies will not sink and drown. Poisons and pills will have no effect, and somehow even bullets and knives will not do their intended job." Because when someone who doesn't know Christ is at the end of their rope and they feel like life is hopeless, there's no hope for them, they commit suicide. Back during the Great Depression when the stock market crashed, those that worked at Wall Street, worked the stock market, were jumping from buildings and committing suicide. People commit suicide now. I mean, even now, people are counseled by doctors to commit suicide by being euthanized. The elderly are being conned, tricked into being euthanized because, well, not just elderly, but people who have cancer and stuff. Well, you know, you're not going to have a good life now. You got cancer, and people don't want to live if they don't have a good life, and they'll commit suicide. You realize the Bible says that during this time, death will not be there. During these 5 months, even though death has been reigning, people die, creatures die, vegetation die, Yet during these 5 months, men will seek death because they're in so much pain, so much torment, yet they can't die. To us, we don't understand that. You mean someone can jump from a sky-rise building and not die? Well, not to believe it would be calling God a liar, because God's the one who is the judge judging the earth at this time and allowing these things to happen. So again, it's not God's people. God's people aren't being tormented. It's the devil's people, those who have joined allegiance with the devil, those who have taken the mark of the beast, those who have basically sold their soul to the devil and they cannot get it back. Look at verse 7 through 10. Again, some of these things we don't understand, but the Bible says it's going to happen. That is, again, exactly how these creatures are going to do what they do and exactly how they look like, we don't know. But there are things that have been revealed, and that's possible that they'll look like, that is one of those creatures I showed you a picture of. But verses 7 through 10 just tells us that these demons just have a horrifying appearance. Again, it says, and the shapes of the locusts were like unto horses prepared unto battle, and on their heads were, as it were, crowns like gold. Not that they had crowns of gold, but it was like crowns of gold. And their faces were as the faces of men, and they had hair as the hair of women, and their teeth were as the teeth of lions. So you think these massive teeth that can just chew a man to pieces. Again, the world, I don't say promotes, but you think about just the entertainment that people get from movies about zombies and even video games, and people talk about the zombie apocalypse. Again, if you've ever seen, the depiction of a zombie, I mean, it looks like someone who's had their face chewed up. So you think about this creature that is being released, not only stinging people with the tail and causing internal affliction and pain through the venomous poison, but then also having these teeth that can chew flesh. I'm just saying that I'm glad that I am on God's side. I'm glad I'm in the family of God, and I'm not going to have to be going through this. I'm not going to be afflicted, because I will be in heaven because I have received Christ as my Savior as well as you. Sometimes people don't even want to read the book of Revelation because they don't understand it, which, again, Jesus reveals things. We can't explain everything in it, but it is for us to be reminded, you know what? We don't even want our worst enemy having to go through this and end up in hell. But God, who's the righteous judge, is giving the people what they wanted. They didn't want the peace of Christ. They didn't want the grace of God. They didn't want the love of Jesus. They wanted to live their own life apart from the one who gives life. So guess what? They get what they wanted. They get what they wanted. Though nobody says, oh, this is what I want, but this is what they chose. Because what's the opposite of God? Darkness, devastation, torment. Just all the heinous things that you can even think of, and times that by a billion, because God is love and God is light and God is peace and God is grace. Very quickly, looking at verse 7 through 10, it mentions, it describes these, all right? Their bodies are as horses prepared unto battle. They have crowns like gold upon their heads. They have the faces as a man, hair like women, teeth like lions. They have on it breastplates of iron, and the sound of their wings are as the sound of chariots of many horses running to battle, and their tail stings like scorpions. In verse 11 it says, and they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, which means, in Hebrew, that means the place of destruction. Apollyon means the destroyer. So it says that they had an angel, a king, an angel. Well, that's not talking about one of God's angels that were faithful to him, Michael or Gabriel. it's speaking of one that followed Lucifer in his rebellion, and his name is the Destroyer. He destroys, and he is the king over these demonic creatures that come out of the bottomless pit. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12 reminds us, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So the Bible's still true. There are demons that have been reserved in the chains of darkness, and there are four that are chained right now in the river Euphrates that we're like, what? Angel bound in the Euphrates River? How is that possible? Again, you're not going to see it if you go to the Euphrates River and try to, you know, swim through and try to find them. Again, they're reserved in darkness. They're not of this world. They're of the demonic world. They can reveal themselves. Demons can reveal themselves in different ways. But again, as God is preparing to pour out his wrath upon this earth, I believe we as God's people need to really spiritually wake up and be prepared for the coming of the Lord. Because he's going to have his angels sound the trumpet that the dead in Christ will rise first, and those which are alive and remain at that moment will be caught up to be with the Lord in the air. Again, when we read Revelation chapters 4 all the way to the end, we know that we're not here. You can't come up with any other conclusion other than those that were saved during the age of grace are in heaven. They have been saved from the wrath to come. But at the same time, we can't be like ostriches and have our head in the sand, knowing that, you know what? The devil now is doing his dirty work in the lives of people, trying to keep people blinded from the truth. And he does it by programming them to think, you know, well, you know, the Bible's not real. Those things, all the kooky things it talks about, you know, Hollywood, it's just all fake. Whatever he can do to convince someone not to believe the truth, he's going to do it. But as we have the truth, we have to share the truth. We have to live the truth. If you've got Christ in you, we have to live the truth. Father, we do thank you this morning just for the truth of your word. We do thank you that you have not left us behind right now. Lord, as that man that was demon-possessed wanted to go with Christ, he told him to go home and tell people, tell his family what great things God has done for him. Lord, you've left us here for a time. Father, just like those demonic creatures are kept in bondage but will be released for a moment of time, for 5 months, to torment those who rejected Christ, those who have the seal of the Antichrist upon their foreheads and their right hands. Yet, Father, you continue to watch over us, Father. You continue to provide for us. You continue to guide us and direct us. Lord, would you help us to draw closer to you? Help us, Father, to learn the things we need to learn through the book of Revelation, helping us, Father, to really hunger and thirst after a richer relationship with you so that we can be better witnesses in the world that we're living in right now, and that we can be found faithful at your return. We ask it all in Christ's name. Amen. All right, we got just a couple minutes.